I ran marketing departments in corporate America for 10 years and then ran a digital agency for over another 10 years. So I know the roadmap to online success, and that formula always includes producing content to share your message, from your marketing message to sales and delivery. Hi, I'm Jennifer Neal, and you're listening to The Content Toolbox. I believe the secret to finding and creating raving fans online is through you. In building relationships through stories that share who you really are, create genuine, crazy, raving fans that keep begging you to take their money. And on this podcast, we'll be talking strategies, tactics, tips, and more with myself and other industry experts. So buckle up and start your engines, because it's go time.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. On our episode today, we have a good friend of mine, Miss Zuzana Dobro. And she is, you know those friends that you meet at conferences and then you just kind of keep running into them? This is like, she and I have this hilarious story. We just keep, every time we're anywhere, we just run around the corner and it's like, oh, there you are. It's so awesome. Anyway, Zuzana is like an amazing, she's got some awesome program that she's working on right now. She's super smart, and I'm so grateful to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for your time. Welcome.
Jennifer, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity. And yeah, it's so good to see you again. A running joke is going to be there forever.
It totally is. All right. So for those who haven't run into you many, many times at events like I have, why don't you give us a little bit about your background, kind of where you came from and how you got where you are today?
I am a Slovakian, and I was born actually in Czechoslovakia during communism. So that's my background. You know, like I grew up in Slovakia, and all my childhood and my teenage years I spent in there. And I left my country when I was 18, and I came to England with literally 20 British pounds in my pocket on my own without having any backup plans or having any contacts. So I came to England and work here on and off as a full-time language student. So after a couple of years, you know, living in here, I went back to Slovakia for a while, and I spent a couple of years in there. And then I actually moved to Spain for 5 years. So as you can see, I've been moving around quite a lot. I decided to enroll myself into the private masters. So I done an MA in design in Spain, which I founded myself. So I worked a lot, a whole year, just to pay off my investment. And then after the experience, that also helped me a lot with my self-expression, and it helped me a lot with language. I remember when I was studying in masters, I was the only one who was not fluent in Spanish. And that was really difficult because, as you know, as a designer, you have to explain your work. You have to defend your work. You have to listen to the arguments. And then you have to, you know, like basically facilitate the conversation and reasoning behind your creation, right? So that really pushed me like into the grasping that language. So that was amazing, because then I realized later on how powerful that experience was for me. What I done after that experience in Spain, I moved back to London, and I really, really deep dive into the design and creative field, where I've been working along some of the best creative minds in industry. And I've been very fortunate to learn from the best. And also past 5 years, I've really been focusing more on creating more sophisticated projects when it comes to app or software development. So I really transitioned from that over creative work into more custom experience and user experience work. And I've been very fortunate to be able to work on very, very interesting projects.
That's such an amazing story. I think I didn't even know your complete story. So just to recap, made a complete life for yourself, speak 3 languages, and also a software UI designer, be working behind the scenes on things that we're probably using every day and I know you can't talk about. But yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
3 languages, which by the way is 2 more than I speak.
It's never late to learn. It's never late to learn. Just pick one and go for it. I would usually end up being the one who actually, you know, translates what certain people meant within solving the things and how we should be approaching these problems. And it helps me a lot with reframing. So in my type of work and in any creative work and in any creative journey, which entrepreneurship is a creative journey, you need to learn and you should learn how to reframe the problems. Every time you learn how to reframe a challenge that you have, you are able to see it from a different perspective.
Absolutely. And I think that there's, like, what you're talking about here is, like, if I can kind of reframe and say here is it's almost like you have even taken away, like, we're talking about content in terms of entrepreneurs, right? So what you're doing is you're looking at not just what it is that you're trying to say, but like the structure of how you're saying that. And I think that you're even using that to then create your content or create your message in a way that is even that much more meaningful and can be that much more engaging, whether it's words or even on a design aspect. I think, did I reframe that correctly?
Yeah, that's one of the ways of definitely looking at it. And, you know, with design, I'm primarily super visual. I'm very aware of it. As an example, you as an entrepreneur, you should always be aware of what does discovering and research actually means for you as a person and for your business. So understanding how the symbolism, how they actually affect people and how people, just understanding fundamentals, how people actually digest the information. And if you are, for example, a coach, what does the white space mean? I'll give you an example, right? When you're putting a content together, you're writing your material, you should always make sure that you have enough white space for the eyes of the person who is reading your content. Otherwise, it's an automatic brain trigger where one person, while they see a block of text, they're going to go like, oh, that's heavy. Ain't going to read that. So there is a mastery in spacing and laying out, you know, your information in a certain way. And when it comes to messaging, yes, I'm still learning so many things when it comes to expression and language, because I would like to get my message across in a certain way. But also I want to understand when someone is using a persuasion and, you know, like let's say talking to me and they are being very persuasive, I want to understand what they are doing. How is it for you when it comes to messaging and you know, using visual and auditory?
Well, we share the design background as part of both of our paths. So yes, I too am very visual, and I completely agree with you. White space and everything from the colors and the fonts and the placements, all of those things speak hidden, like they speak a hidden language. And I think being aware of not only the words that you're saying, but also like how everything's structured and then how it looks, all of that is part of your message.
Yeah, big time. Like for me, copywriting is a beautiful art and I respect it a lot, and I'm learning, you know, different copywriting techniques. A lot of my work and fascination is always around a human, right? About a human being, about a person. All the connections about different type of the minds and what it actually means to us and how you can work with that. So I'm very fascinated by that because, you know, everything connects to each other. And so understanding that and being able to roll back and go into the past and actually kind of demystify, why am I being triggered by XYZ, right? And if I look back and if I understand how the brain works with mine and your body, it makes a lot of sense. And then you are able to actually rewire that. You are able to actually change certain behaviors. So, you know, behavioral psychology, it's huge. Social media platforms are a beautiful example of how people are being led, right? If you know how things are, you are able to be more aware and you are able to be not being, you know, triggered or manipulated by those things. So this is all psychology, really. So
I totally agree. And I'm curious, I'm totally going to put you on the spot here.
Go for it.
Because my brain, and I think works in a very similar way, is like I visualize things. So I like to look at how things are working. Like you're talking about, how are the social platforms working? And kind of looking at that and then being able to like actually not pay attention to the content, but pay more attention to the structure, and then like reverse engineer that and then say, how can I use that structure to my benefit, like for my message to promote my business? Do you have a process that you kind of use? Because you've talked about that now a couple of times, like looking at indoctrination, looking at language, looking at social platforms. Like, do you have a process that you use to identify that structure and then put that back together in a way that's useful for you? Does that make sense?
I would say there is no such a thing as one system. And anyone who tells you this is it, this is the holy grail, run. Because that doesn't exist. Market sophistication is one example, right? So understanding advertising based on a market sophistication, you can start, you know, spotting, oh, this is talking to a warm audience and this is using this type of a messaging and a language. So if you understand these foundations, if you study them, then you will be able to see those patterns and you start recognizing patterns and really start learning. So when I see something working, the way I do the process is that I map it out for myself. So it's almost like I'm looking at the journey where it starts and where is it going to be ending. So I'm doing the user journey. I map my own journey out and see how are they messaging and, you know, how is this really talking to me? And if something catches my attention, I know there is something that I need to pay attention to. This is the intuition, you know, work. And I document it. I basically take screen grabs. I write my notes. I write down how I felt about it, what caught my attention. Because then it's my kind of a learning, you know, notebook, but also it's something I can always go back to and see, did this work?
I love what you said about mapping your own customer journey, going through somebody else's process. That identifies such a great tip because it just can identify so many of the tactics that you know work on you and that you can understand how they're working and then be able to incorporate that into your own. And I think all of us are really, we're kind of our own avatar, just, you know, in the past, like, so once we've been through that path, then we can bring the people who are just like us right through it because we know that journey. So it's a great tip.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's like a guiding light that you know that you're heading towards some point, right? So that's why, you know, the very popular way of setting your vision, right? So the businesses have a vision and the vision is the North Star. So why do you think that is? Because North Star is the navigational star for the sailors and always been. So, you know, in the past, when they were sailing around the world, they didn't have a technology satellite, all this internet and all this GPS and, all, you know, all the technology. But they use stars to navigate. And the North Star is always there at one point. So that's why, the you know, like in the marketing and in a business, they say, have your vision and, you know, your vision is your North Star because it will keep you on track. And then the mission is really, you know, how are we going to get there? Like, what are we going to do to get there? Like, what do we need to get there, right? I don't know if you've seen or how many entrepreneurs are actually using more of a creative problem solving or creative way of approaching things, or if they are actually aware of how creativity can really enhance, you know, their businesses. Because I observe in entrepreneurship a lot of, we have a mastermind and this mastermind is this and this is what we do in a mastermind. But I find those masterminds, yes, they open forum and I would love to have an opportunity to be part of just observing more of the masterminds and how they are run, just to see how effective they are and how they're actually, you know, helping people. Because so far from what I, and I can only speak from my experience, so far what I've been part of and what I heard, it's not that creative. It serves purpose, but it could be so much better. I think there are like creativity workshops and innovation workshops. I haven't seen those being run and really tap into in entrepreneurship world as it is, you know, in other areas. So what's your take on it? How do you see that?
I really see entrepreneurship as a creative outlet. And maybe that's just because I am creative as well. Like, I'm better at creating amazing content for my audience when I have taken the time that day to do something fun and play, and then I've done stuff to take care of my mental state and my physical state, and like just all of the things that help keep you balanced, put you more into that creative mode, and then like magic happens. So I have absolutely seen how that completely plays in. And I am starting to see more in this crazy world, it's difficult to say, even say conferences, but like I've seen some online events in the making. I know people that are working in the like just ways to foster that creative space. Because I think like you said earlier, where you said that you were documenting your own journey, going through other people's experiences and stuff as well. That's like part of the creativity, is that we're creating, like it's enjoy the journey. It's we're on this path and we're leading other people through this journey, and to understand the steps that are happening along the way and using that creativity to help make it fun and relaxing and engaging, because it's going to put people into the right state to enjoy.
Totally agree, because I'm a strong believer that your energy ripples through your work and through your word and through the way you express yourself and, you know, through the way you have conversations, you communicate with people. So yeah, 100%. And, you know, like I never realized how closely interlinked creative world, designers world, and entrepreneurs world are, because we are essentially a problem solvers. So I could easily label myself, I'm a designer, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a creative thinker. There are so many labels I could really, you know, like sort of, oh, that's me, you know, that's, yeah. And it is all part of my identity. And I would say the variety and the experience, right, that I'm like molding together, joining together, it's super powerful and very rich, because my background really taught me how to look at any kind of a challenge from so many different perspectives, because I need to do that, and I need to you know, show people how to do that, so they are not trying to solve the problem from the same perspective and their past experiences. So like shutting down the bias, your personal bias, so important. Now, how many entrepreneurs actually know that and how to do that? I don't know. It's difficult to say, you know, because your past experiences are driving majority of your decisions on automation. And you need to understand that. And if you are not able to, you know, be conscious, be present, and if you don't know how to use your mind in a right way, so state of mind in a right way, then you're going to be just repeating your patterns and making your assumptions. And this is what I see a lot in an entrepreneur's world, where they are making a lot of assumptions about what people want, what their customers want, a lot of assumptions, not based on exploration or validation. It's just, they just assume this is the way, you know, it should be, right? And the worst thing is without them noticing they are actually doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's totally true. And I think a great tip, like I know I keep going back to that, but I think even documenting your, like journaling your own process, because then it's there in black and white. If you're going back and you're repeating the same process and you're stuck in that loop, like you can literally read in your own journal or your own documentation, like, oh wait, I was here before. How do I look at this now from a different angle?
Straight
and say,
in your face.
Let me get out of this.
Yeah, it's straight in your face if you document.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you can fool anyone. You can fool everyone, but you cannot fool yourself. And you cannot fool the universe, that you can't, but you can fool anyone. So, you know, if you are repeating the patterns and you're ignoring the signs, you are actually ignoring the data. Data is you documenting and writing things down and you're ignoring it. Your choice. This is your choice. You are choosing to be ignorant. You are choosing not to see, but it is your choice because the data is there, right? So that's why I think documenting is so crucial. And there is another side to documenting. It is also A lot of people are learning new skill sets of how to market, how to sell themselves, right? How to promote themselves, how to message on the internet, on different platforms, on different, literally different platforms online. And they're learning all these tactics and they're learning all these strategies from people that done it before them. Ideally, you should learn from someone who actually done it. Yet, that person is a unique individual with a unique identity and unique values to them, and they are at a certain level where they are, and you might not be at the same level. You can call it frequency, or you can call it experience, whatever that is, okay? And if you are not there, you won't be able to really relive their strategy or their tactic exactly as they did, and it worked for them at that given moment, because it was answering a specific thing they were basically solving, it doesn't mean that exact tactic or strategy will work for you, no matter what they tell you. So if you are documenting your journey, and at the same time, imagine you have a strategy on the left-hand side on a page of someone else that worked. At the same time, you are documenting your own journey. Okay, so this is how I went through the strategy. So you are the avatar of that person for a moment. You can then compare and you can pick and you can actually create. You should be able to see the differences and you should be able to then make it your own language. You should mold it towards what you think it works and then test it. Mm-hmm. Test exactly what someone and how someone actually done it and test your own creation, your own assumptions, right, on it, and test it and see what people are going to be resonating with, right? See what people are actually going to be giving you as a feedback, because guess what? You can only assume, but you will only understand once you get a feedback, once people will, you know, people will either resonate or they will not resonate. So I'm a big advocate of testing things out. Because that's the fastest way to get a feedback. My experience, so I put this ad together and I put like variations of ads. And we had, obviously, we're going to be split testing a lot of it. And I had my preferred favorites. It's like betting. You bet on your horses, right? And I had my favorites. And I can tell you, I was like, I was so, so sure these are the winners. There's no way. It looks pretty. It's amazing. The messaging is this and that. Most of the time, wrong. All of them were wrong, you know, and the data doesn't lie. The data will show you, you know, the results, and you go like, how is this possible? And then you need to look at the scene, you know, look at the understanding. Am I the target audience? Am I the person who is actually, you know, being targeted? Or am I the person this solution product is actually supposed to help, right? And if I'm not, my bias is all over. Like I'm so off, like I'm a flying rocket in a different galaxy. I am assuming a lot of things and, you know, and I literally, you know, using my experience, seeing so many different campaigns, betting, this is the winner. Let data show you, right? Because it really, you know, like what people are, what is resonating, they are buying or they are investing or they are exploring, whatever that is the truth of the person you were trying to help or you were targeting, basically.
Wow. Okay. So recap here, paying attention to the journey, paying attention to your own biases to make sure that you're looking at it from the correct perspective and follow the data for sure. Make your small adjustments off of that data.
Yep. Yeah. And one more, keep your ego in check. Mm. It's okay. You don't need to be right.
Yep.
And you should be grateful you are not right, because then your ego will be driving you even stronger. So that's a very important one, you know, to just get over yourself. It's okay.
I love it. Get over yourself. Yes. Yep. In fact, one of our core values for our company is, oh God, how did we word it now? I think it's just no egos. Yeah. I mean, keep it in check. It's super important because it's what our avatar needs and not what we need.
It is very much so. It's so truth. You know, like I think magic when it comes to bringing in innovative ideas or solutions really happens is that when you are truly understanding what your people want, right, your avatar wants, it's so truth. Yet there's another factor to that, and it is that yes, you understand what they want, but you also, if you have an idea and you think or you feel or whatever that is that you can actually bring to your avatar, to your clients and customers, and you can add it into the offering, into the offer, right, into the solution that you have for people. So it's essentially what I'm trying to say in here is that definitely know what your people want, be aware of it, be crystal clear knowing what they want, but give them what they need. So you will hear these variations, right? These are the phrases, quotes, whatever. You will hear it a lot in online marketing and in online space. What I mean by giving them what they need is that people will tell you what they want, but they will not always understand or know what they actually really need. So if you can bring your magic into that solution that you are giving them, yes, you are giving them what they want, but with a flavor of knowing this is actually what they need. That's where a lot of products and a lot of innovation actually happens, because you give it your own magic, right? You give it your own solution, your own way that really fascinates and resonates, with the people you're serving.
Absolutely.
This makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. It does. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, and I thought of the phrase, the way we say it.
Tell me.
We practice ego-free artistry.
Ooh, we practice ego-free artistry. You know, I think it's spot on, because it's an art. Mm-hmm. It's an art to be self-aware. Wow, that's beautiful. I really like it.
Using those muscles. Gotta keep doing it.
Yeah, repetition, right? Create the right habits.
Yeah. <for people.
laughs> Big time.
Well, normally I kind of go through tips and common mistakes and things like that, but I feel like we've hit a lot of those just by going through your story. So one other thing that I usually do like to ask is, what is a surprising transformation or a thing that's happened to you either personally or in your business that you never even expected when starting down this entrepreneurial path?
I start with the one which I mentioned, is that I have never realized how closely I am aligned with entrepreneurs. And I never realized that I've been an entrepreneur for many, many years, like literally, because I've been troubleshooting and problem solving so many things in my life for myself and for others. I would say since I left my country, since I was 18. And, you know, like you can picture it this way. Coming from a completely different conditioning, different background, not even speaking language, into the country that is so different to anything that you experienced before, and figuring things out is essentially problem solving most of the time, and adapting and learning and striving to, first of all, survive, trying to make sense of the things, and then really following things that are interesting to you and building up your, you know, career, your passion, exploring the world. And I wish everyone could go and travel around the world on their own, because it sheds away a lot of assumptions around the people and the world, and it teaches you valuable lessons. So I think the transformational aha moment was really me realizing the way of my being for many years has been so closely aligned with being an entrepreneur. I just never gave a focus of the world or the word, right, the label of entrepreneur before, where essentially I've been doing that for many years without me actually noticing. So I think that was a huge transformational moment for me to actually embrace that. Oh man, like, wow, I am an entrepreneur. It's like, I don't need to step into that role. I've been actually part of that. It's been part of my journey. So leaving, you know, like dealing with the uncertainty has been in my life for many, many years. And that is entrepreneurship in essence, because there is no security, which is brilliant, because it allows you to be creative. It allows you to be resourceful. And it opens you up and it pushes you in such a directions you had no idea. And it makes you grow tremendously. You learn so much about yourself. You literally are playing the game in the arena. You are playing the game. You're not watching. You are actually part of the game. So that would be my really that aha moment of realizing.
That's awesome. I love that. So check your ego at home and go out and travel.
Totally cool. Well, try to do it right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Be a maverick.
Fantastic. All right. Well, Susanna, I know that you have some amazing programs that you are working on. Where can people find some more information about you and how to follow you?
So I'm working on a program which is called The Whole Method. And you can find more information on the website, thewholemethod.com. And I'm really focusing on helping entrepreneurs with, and not just entrepreneurs, this is also, I'm talking about coaches, authors, you know, experts, even agencies, to gain the clarity, awareness, and alignment with their target audience, with their avatar, right? Dream customer across every stage of their customer journey. So I'm working on this, and I'm bringing this knowledge to this world and you can follow the progress and you can sign up for the waitlist, and I'll let you know when it's open and when there is more information to share. So you can find me there, and then you can contact with me on Facebook and via Jennifer. Just, you know, send her a message. Pester her.
I'll get you in contact.
And then, yes, like just the social media. And anyone who wants to check my personal website, so my design work and creative innovation work, you can actually find it on ZuzanaDobro.com. So that's my first name and last name.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. It's been so much fun connecting with another designer as well. So like just finding the way that our brains are working in alignment. I love it.
Yeah, it is fascinating, you know, to see the differences, but also so many things that are so familiar and so many things that are really connecting us together.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing your experiences and story. And you guys make sure that you look her up, because she's got the, I'm really excited about the Who Method. It's going to be amazing. So awesome. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me, and yeah, speak to you soon.